Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for sitting in for Dave.
No
problem.
His
grandbabies were ill, so he had to take care of that, which is so very important to do. So, thank you.
Yeah, grandchildren are kind of special. Somebody once told me that's a reward for not killing your own.
Oh. Okay.
But anyway, yeah, they're special.
Okay. I mean, well, as well behaved as your boys are, I can't imagine that you'd ever have issues with them.
Now they're all in their 40s. I guess they're okay. If they they break something now, they got to fix it. I don't.
Yeah. Were they hooligans? Were they wild? And
no, they weren't. Young? I can honestly say they weren't. The middle one took after his mommy's side of the family. Very hard headed, but he got over that finally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely not the father's side, right?
No. I never had to worry about them getting carousing around doing drugs and drinking. They were good young men overall. They did, they weren't boys. They had to worry about going out and tearing something up, getting in trouble.
Well,
so that was a blessing. That's one of the things I'm thankful for this come Thanksgiving. I mean, the boys were raised in a Christian home. We had prayer around the coffee table as our altar every morning before we scattered and went our ways. And, they went to church. I pastored a couple of churches. They were brought up in a way that God has blessed me with three pretty good sons.
Good.
So I'm very blessed.
Good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I think we want to go ahead and do the gold and silver pricing.
I think it'd be a good idea.
You think it's a good idea?
I think
this Thanksgiving
like
Day week.
That's it.
Thanksgiving week.
There you go.
Well, we did top over 2,000. We had a high of 2,008, and now it's just hovering at that level, up $20. Silver's 23.85, up 34 cents. Platinum was up $16 at 946. Palladium was down, though, $2 at 1104. The USDX today, it was lower. That's the reason why gold was so much stronger, but it's still hovering to the upside at 103.59. Not showing any changes in crude oil. Looks like it's holding at 73.83. And the paper markets today, you had the Dow down 62 points. It's going to be interesting to see. I'll have to take a peek to see what cryptos are doing today. The S&P was down 9, and the NASDAQ was down 84 points. The Justice Department and partners. I'd like to know who are the partners with the Justice Department, but they announced cryptocurrency enforcement actions. Not okay. Sure what all that means, but I think what's more important is who are the partners of the Justice Department.
Good question. And the enforcement actions are interesting also. That is interesting.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Let's see. It's a video, so I can't really read it. They're holding a press conference to announce cryptocurrency enforcement actions. CNBC, so I guess this is just coming out live. Of course, they're doing this after the markets close. We certainly don't want to do anything to interfere with the markets. So if you'll ever notice, all the major announcements come after 4 o'clock. So we'll have to see what follows that. So that's kind of interesting. Let's go ahead and finish the market report. The European markets were all negative. Just the FTSE was down 1.3%, was the biggest drop in the European markets. Asia, they were all negative, but they were just fractionally down. No biggie there. 10-year yield, that continues to drop 4.40. And oil, my natural gas was down less than 1% at 2.857. You know, it's funny now because everybody thinks that because we're seeing the government's numbers and inflation come down a little bit, that Powell will not do it, or he might think of cutting rates already. And I mean, this whole thing is just a joke. Why would he want to cut rates when the 10-year yield is falling on its own? Yeah, I mean, it's maddening, Butch, because it doesn't mean anything.
No,
we're
doesn't.
Still on the path. We've got debt too great to be paid. It's not going to be paid. They jiggle the books. They do whatever is necessary just to keep the system floating. And they've got world markets, you got world governments, you've got world markets all in tune with one another just to make sure that the system does work a little bit. But this cracks me up. This is the article of the day. This is out of Reuters. Rising U.S. debt stokes calls in Congress for special fiscal commission. Isn't that what the politicians are?
I thought they're the ones that made those decisions in the first place.
I know.
Gee.
So now the U.S. Congress facing growing calls to find a way to stem rising budget deficits and debt following this month's warning by Moody's that political dysfunction could lead it to lower the federal government's credit rating. You know, it's just, are you kidding me? So that has led some to call for a commission to do the heavy lifting of coming up with realistic approaches to addressing the ballooning debt. A growing concern now that interest rates have risen, producing a jaw-dropping $6.5 billion in payments. Well, I think it's higher than that. They're a little low on that side. A fiscal commission is direly needed. This is said by Republican Senator Mike Braun, a budget committee member. He said that in an interview. Well, what the hey are you doing there? What are you doing? Butch, you know, where is the outrage in it from anybody?
Well, if you look to make sense of anything happening in this country, in this world, really, being in America today, it's not going to happen. I keep watching the oil prices dropping, and we're going to cover it in a minute. I mean, tankers or ships are getting intercepted in the Middle East, I don't get it. I mean, the war in the Middle East is not letting up. It's actually expanding a little bit, and the oil prices drop and everything. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The markets don't. I mean, free little change. It's insane. Nothing makes any sense any longer.
Well, I truly believe that the markets aren't reacting to a lot of the things because they do have a key directly into the government. So they know what the governments are doing, when they're going to do it, and so forth. And, you know, and that's how I see, you know, they know. They're an open book.
It didn't used to be that way. When war broke out, markets just went everywhere, you know?
Absolutely. So the only reason that they're not can only be because they're the ones who are dictating what government does because of how they would affect the markets. Where's the proof, Melody? Are you doing a conspiracy theorist? Maybe. But what makes sense? Where's the logic in these markets not responding? Inflation has something to do with it, but, you know, I said from the very beginning, Iran, if they were going to become truly involved, they would have shut the Strait of Hormuz down. And there was never even a word ushered about that. So there is so much that goes on in the background, all the cheating handshakes and everything else, the money. I mean, what, you don't think that $6 billion that went to, I think it was $6 billion that went to Iran, that doesn't have any, that didn't have something to do with everything else and maybe the promises of more money coming? I mean, Butch, we don't know what this country and our politicians and administrations have given away.
We have no idea. We lost control of that long before you knew you and I were born. It just multiplied itself many times over since then.
But it's the only thing that makes sense when we don't see any reactions from anything is because these markets know, you know, I mean, you have dinner with the president of China, with Musk and all the other AI and TI and technology guru. I mean, these are the people who make decisions for you and me.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Now, I want you to remember that they make decisions for us, for you and me, for all of us. They make the decisions that control our futures, our children's futures, our grandchildren's futures. They make the decisions before we have a chance to even think about them. So, no, we think that we are destiny of our own life, so to speak, in some ways. When it comes to finances anymore, and control what's going on, it doesn't work anymore.
And when you think about these markets, they're digits. Our financial system is digits. What are digits? They're computers. Why do you think these computer guys are so important to our governments? You think that your voting can be a changed, that there's some sort of computer hacking and so forth, and what do you think the Wall Street is? What do you think everything else is? It's all computers and digits, all controlled by who? They don't control themselves. So,
I totally agree.
And so that's why when you wonder why there's no actions, when there's no reactions when there are actions, and you wonder why all the reports coming out is just cheery and happy. And we should all be doing much better. Why most of you are not.
Yep.
So, and it only takes one little black swan to come swimming along to mess up their, or it's their decision to pull the plug and to let things happen. Elon Musk says that we live in two worlds, and I believe that 100%. 100%. It's like a science fiction movie. And there's two realities, the real reality and then the one they've created, the illusion that we talked about for 30 years. Well, that illusion has manifested into an alternate reality. And I can't even believe I'm saying these words, Butch.
Well, you're telling the truth. You're telling the truth. It is people, and we've all bought into it. We all have bought into that.
We have.
Well, we've been sold.
What else are we to do? We still have to live. We still have to survive. We still have to take care of our children. We still have to do all the things.
Well, this first article I'll share in a minute, too, is about people who are dipping into their 401ks to pay them a mortgage and rent. And you see, this is a death by a thousand cuts. I mean, they don't pull the plug and let it all sink. They can't do that. But they take us down a little bit of the time. By the time they get down to the bottom, we're desperate. Whatever they want to do, just do it. I mean, we need help. How else are you going to put us into a corral unless they keep narrowing the gate on us?
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yep. So.
Anyway, it is sad. It's what it is. When people start dipping into the retirement to pay mortgage and rent, that doesn't speak too well of the future for the people, does it?
Yeah.
And every time you dip into one of those accounts, you pay a penalty too, don't you?
You do. You do.
There you go. Of course, and they know that. I mean, the people know that, and so the ones that caused it to happen. It says, in the latest sign of economic edging deeper into troubled waters, more Americans are raiding their 401k retirement accounts to ever cover basic trainings, according to data released by Fidelity Investments on Monday. Americans outside the wealthiest quintile have run out of extra savings generated early in the pandemic, and now have less cash on hand than they did when the pandemic began. No doubt. Withdrawals aren't even the only way to crack the 401k piggy bank. Fidelity says 2.8% took loans from their retirement balances from 2.4% last year. So they're actually borrowing. Even more concerning, 17.6% workers now have an outstanding loan against a 401k. So they're borrowing money from their retirement, hoping to pay it back. Hoping against hope the inflation will level out and they can prosper a little bit again. And that's all it is hope. There's no guarantee here. And it probably isn't even going to happen. If they can bankrupt the middle class, if they can take the middle class down on their knees, they control the country.
Yep.
And that's about as clear as I can put it. Anything you want to add to that, you go ahead.
Well, I mean, they already control the country, but when that happens, people don't have a choice anymore. They are more easily controlled.
Hungry people get desperate.
They do.
They do, and I don't have time to cover the whole next article, but I'm going to share an article by Michael Snyder, 11 signs that U.S. consumers are in very serious trouble as we head into the final stretch of 2023. You know, it's hard to believe we are down to the final quarter of this year. I mean, we're almost in 2024. It's amazing how this year went by and how quickly it went by and how much has happened in the last couple of years, from war between Russia and Ukraine to now the Middle East. I mean, all this happened, Melody, in the last couple of years, and all the insanity just keeps multiplying. It used to be years in between things happening. Now it's just months in between. But it says U.S. consumers are getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Today, debt levels have risen to unprecedented heights. But thanks to roaring inflation, our standard of living has been steadily going down. Most Americans are working extremely hard, but they have very little to show for it. And now the latest economic downturn is really starting to bite. Layoffs are starting to surge again. Once thriving businesses are shutting down all over the nation, and hunger and homelessness are exploding. If economic conditions continue to deteriorate at this pace, what will folks look like a year from now? For decades, we have been able to count on U.S. consumers to just keep spending money no matter what the economic outlook was, but now things have changed. I know we've got to go to break in a second, but I'll try to go through a couple of these. Food bank executive just told USA Today that she is seeing the worst rate of hunger in her career. Wells Fargo just shut down 13 bank branches in a single week. A Verage hourly earnings for all employees have fallen 3.32% since Biden took office. Due to a lack of consumer demand, three different major Burger King franchises have shut down, declared bankruptcy. Vice Media has announced that it will be laying off dozens of staffers. According to Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, about 20,000 media jobs have been eliminated this year. Amazon has laid off hundreds of workers in the Alexa division. It's break time. We'll come back after break, finish up these things. Folks, it ain't looking good. No matter how you look at it, it's not looking good. Back up. Go ahead, Mel. Let's take that.
Yes, I hear the music. We're heading into break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, you know, I started running a special with a 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagles 2023s, along with 21-ounce Silver Eagles. And the total was $800. Well, that was about, what, $30 ago? And silver's a little bit stronger, too. So I'm keeping the price at $800. So it's a deal. So not only are you getting a special price for the coins, but I'm not charging you for the extra increases of the gold and silver. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
That is a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, gold and silver went up quite a bit since you made
it. Yeah, I know.
So, good deal, folks. Yep. You need to give her a call. My goodness, that's an excellent deal. But back to the 11 signs that this consumers are in trouble. I just shared that Amazon just laid off hundreds of workers in the Alexa division. Just in time for the holiday, Citigroup has decided to conduct large-scale layoffs. As consumer wealth has dried up, federal tax receipts have been falling on a quarterly basis since the third quarter of 2022. 80% of U.S. households are actually poorer than they were when the COVID pandemic originally hit this country. And I have no doubt that's very true. Inflation was not up yet. people still had jobs. Businesses were still making a profit. How many thousands of businesses, Melody, have went out of business since COVID hit, since the COVID fiasco? How many thousands of small businesses are out? Probably tens of, maybe 100,000 are gone. Gone forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no duh, hurt. Gee, I mean, COVID was a slap in the face of the whole world. And the people, as usual, fell on like sheep and done it, and that's where we are today. Anyway, existing home sales crashed to lowest since 2010, hit record low in the West. With housing affordability at its lowest since last at least the early 1980s, and home builder sentiment is slumping as mortgage rates rose, it's no surprise that analysts expected existing home sales in October to tumble. Sales actually fell 4.1% month over month, far worse than expected, and down for the 20th time in 23 months. 20 times out of 23 months, the price has dropped. That decline left existing home sales down 14.6% year to year. The total existing home sales, I was going through about a few of them there, but it says that sales fell in three of the four regions, while they were unchanged in the Midwest. They hit a record low in the West and matched an all-time low in the Northeast. Melody, that hasn't happened since, they just mentioned, 1980s. That's huge. There for a few months, the homes were selling like hotcakes. I mean, the mortgage rates were basically 0, 2, 3%. People were selling homes. People couldn't even find a place to buy a home. They were renting when they couldn't even find a place to rent. And now this is going down. And I guess it's, isn't that what they wanted? Didn't they want the sales to slow down to cool off the economy? Wasn't that the idea?
That was the idea.
Well, it's working. It's working. The average person, the average individual today can't afford to buy a home. So it's working real well. Congratulations. They did a good job on it. Because people that can afford homes, they can afford it less now than they could a year ago. So congratulations, y'all. You've done a good job. Go ahead, Melody.
So the thing of it is, yeah, they wanted to slow down the economy if that's where the real inflation numbers were coming from. But the real inflation numbers are there, and they're not going to change. You know, they might have hit peaks, so they come down. You think they're actually going to go down to where they were?
No.
I mean, everybody watches oil like that is the item to watch. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that prices are not going down. If they do, you know, they might have gone up 20%, so they're coming down maybe, you know, 5%, but that still means they're up 15%.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, we watch gasoline, but we just don't live on gasoline alone.
No, I just read an article that the cost of Thanksgiving this year is 30% higher than it was last year. Now, I know some prices come down some items, but others went up. So it costs 30% more than it did last year to have a Thanksgiving dinner. That's a chunk of money. What cost $100 last year is $130 this year, folks. Put it in a way that you can feel it in your wallet.
Yeah, but on the other same breath, I saw where the prices went down, too, for Thanksgiving. But,
Yeah,
it depends on what. Yeah. You know, you can make anything. If anything, trust me, they're higher. They say they came down because of the turkeys, and I don't buy that because we just went through a year where the chicken poultry. And the turkey,
the poultry
was hammered by disease, and they don't recover that quick.
If they went up 30%, like you said, and come down 10%, you're still paying 20% more.
Still paying 20% more.
And so, folks, they're playing games with us.
They are.
Really are. And on some good news, as far as I'm concerned, Ford downsizes plan for Michigan battery factory, citing slower EV demand. Automaker restarts work on plant, which will use tech from China. Isn't that great? Ford said it resumed building a battery plant in Marshall, Michigan. But it is downsizing the scope of the project and amid cooling EV demand. Ford Motor is moving forward on construction of a battery plant in Michigan, but has reduced size from original plans, citing a pullback in the outlook for future electric vehicle demand. Ford in September paused work on the factory in Marshall, Michigan. At the time, the company said it was reassessing its ability to competitively operate the plant, which will make batteries using technology from China's contemporary Amperex technology company. On Tuesday, Ford said it has resumed work at the site, but downsized the scope of the project, which plans to produce roughly 40% fewer batteries than originally planned. Almost 40% fewer than planned. That's a chunk. And now expects to employ about 1,700, down from 2,500. So I'm looking here at a 40V a battery pack displayed here in the picture. They're huge, and they look like a pontoon boat kind of way it looks when the battery pack goes into the car. But 40% reduction, I mean, they're going to make 4 out of 10 less cars than they had plans for. And I'm glad to see that. I hope they never catch on. I truly do. We will see on that. I don't know, but that's but I hate to see people that were planning to go to work out of work also. But it's just a catch 22, Mel. You know, no matter which way you go, it hurts.
Yes, it does. I mean, I hope the electric vehicles, you know, work, but just don't force them down my throat and make them effective. Make them to where they're cost effective. Make them to where they're sensible. Make them to where, you know, it's not going to cost me $20,000 every couple of years to replace the battery. Make them, you know, to where you can drive the same amount of distance as you can with gasoline, you know. But don't force them. Don't make me buy them if I don't want one.
And what do you do when you're out in the middle of a traffic jam somewhere and your car dies?
Well, you can do. You can run out of gas too.
Well, I know about that, but you can plan for that. You can charge
your
car, but
I mean, I don't carry extra gas in my car.
You don't have to. Just make sure your tank's full. I'm saying, with the electric car, how do you know? It may say it is, but what if something shorts out and it goes down quicker?
Well, that's true.
See, these are things people think about. Car electronics can go bad. Generally, a gasoline engine, yes. unless a line plugs up. You got gas till you run out of gas. With electric, you don't know that. You don't know that. I got on a tractor the other day to put some hay across to the cows. It ran fine a few minutes and started another time to move it up back in the garage, and the battery was dead. Don't have any idea why. We've done some work on it. I'm going to put a battery back in and see. But the point of it is, I had fuel, but the battery went dead. It can happen in an electric car also. What happened? Who knows? So, no, I don't want anything like that at all. You can't trust them. Especially, like I said, when you go to fix it, and it costs $20,000 to fix it, and you only paid $50 for the car, that's half the value of the car. It's ridiculous. Now, I'm done ranting. You want to go ahead?
No. Keep going. You're doing good.
40% of Americans, and this is sad, this is America, my gosh, 40% of Americans are afraid to walk alone at night, most in decades. Concerns about certain crimes are at their highest levels in decades, causing Americans to isolate themselves from their communities, according to new polling. The spike in fear comes as violent crime has decreased nationwide, while property crime has ticked up, according to the FBI. A recent Gallup poll found that 28% of Americans worry frequently or occasionally that they'll be murdered. Now, that's a sad thing to think about. And I think I live in a place where it's not that bad, but I can understand in inner cities like Chicago, New York, yeah. The Gallup poll surveyed 1,009 adults between October 2nd and October 23rd, and it has a margin of error of plus or minus 4%. Meanwhile, half of the U.S. adults said they worry that a car will be stolen or broken into. 37% worry they'll be mugged, and 32% are concerned about getting attacked while driving. Those are new record highs. Additionally, the vast majority of Americans, 72%, worry they will fall victim to identity theft, according to the poll. Now, that's a biggie. This heightened apprehension has had a detrimental effect on the daily lives of Americans, causing them to curb commonplace activities. That is sad, Melody, that a society, and maybe I grew up in the country. I still live in the country, but I grew up in the country. And we never had that kind of fear. Maybe it's always been in cities, I don't know. But if you're afraid to walk down the street after dark, you're not really a free individual, are you?
Well, you know, I think there's, I don't know if it goes in cycles, but I think it certainly has a lot to do with who's governing the city or the location that, you know, where people are concerned. I mean, because if you have a good, strong police force and so forth, you feel a little bit safer. It's when you don't have that. And we've certainly seen so many cities over the past how many years just decline, where the funding hasn't gone to the police. The police get such a bad rap. And yes, there's bad police officers out there. They are. They're there. But there's a heck of a lot of good ones, too, that put their lives on the line every single day. So it's, you know, and it's a sign of the times. You know, to me, it's, you know, we've seen it in the 90s. We saw it, you know, in various times. I mean, you know, Rudy Giuliani got all that credit for cleaning up New York, where you didn't feel safe walking down the street. He was in there, and a couple years you began to feel safe. And, you know, and now look at it. It's back to the point where you don't feel safe. And so it's who's governing these cities that really has the impact.
Yeah, it's just a sad situation.
They're not doing their jobs.
No,
and you know what? Again, it's like the people in D.C. It's like they're the ones who are letting all of this happen. And they don't say anything. And it's the same way with people in their communities. They don't say anything. They keep voting the same people in there expecting a different result. They get bamboozled on the lies that people are not held accountable for their lies anymore.
Well, and again, too, that as frustrating as it is, sometimes you wonder if your vote even counts any longer, the way things are being defrauded. And this next article, Arizona's Mojave County Board of Supervisors to vote to hand count ballots in 2024. Excellent idea, but they're running into resistance on that. Duh, and that's something. The Mojave County Board of Supervisors in Arizona is scheduled to vote today on an agenda item to approve and direct the Mojave County Elections Department to carry out hand tabulation of ballots for the 2024 elections. The agenda item packet includes a letter from Carl Lake attorney Brian Blim vowing to defend the decision and cover all legal expenses, a letter from Arizona State Senator Sonny Bernoulli, a notification that the county has received written commitment covering the volunteers required to carry this out, so they're going to pay for it. However, Arizona County Attorney General Chris Mayers, who stole her election by 280 votes, sent a letter to the board yesterday threatening prosecution for conducting an illegal hand count and labeling people advising this hand count as bad faith actors. As a Gateway pundit previously reported, the Arizona legislature passed Senate concurrent resolution 1037, saying an official requirement for the use of electronic voting machines in the state and banning the use of those made with foreign components. State Senator Sonny Bernoulli later fired off a letter to all Arizona county supervisors ordering their compliance with the lawful resolution. So, some people want to go to hand count. The ones who won the elections, who apparently looks like, according to this article, some of them has been stolen, are going to prosecute them if they do. Now, if they will not allow a hand count, they threaten to sue you if you take it. That kind of points a finger back to ones who are threatening a lawsuit. I believe that maybe they may have stole the election. They don't get caught. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I agree with you. And, but, you know, and that's what people think, that what's the point of voting anymore? But you still have to. Because then and that's what I think really happened along the way. People stopped voting. And it made it easier. Made it easier for them to cheat. And I get more mad, I get more upset with people. You know, I heard it on the news the other day saying, well, you know, there was a little shenanigans going on in this one particular locale and so forth, but it wasn't enough to change the election. So they're not going to do anything. I mean, I don't get it.
No, a little bit.
I know. And if it's just a little bit today, then it's going to be a whole lot tomorrow.
Well,
why wouldn't you fix it now?
Exactly. You figure that with the Bible scripture, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. A little bit of sin, a little bit of wrong, can pollute the whole bunch.
Either, absolutely.
Barney Fife said it, nip it in the bud.
Nip it in the bud. I can hear him saying that now.
Absolutely. Nip it in the bud. You get that? I mean, he's right. Nip it in the bud. If it got one vote miscounted, nip it in the bud.
Well, Butch, we have to nip this in yep. bud, this segment, because we're heading to a break. We'll be right back.
Take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom with Pastor Butch Paul. It is Tuesday, November 21st, and what do you want to talk about next, Butch?
Well, I thought this next article, if I tell you the picture in your mind, the 80 square foot room, you can do that, I'm sure, and how tiny it really is, okay? I just added a little extra room in our house, about 144 square foot, another room. So 80 square foot, quite a bit smaller than that, and I can only imagine what this would be like. But Sanctuary City, Chicago, considers 80 square foot micro homes from migrants as mass immigration strains housing. Again, coming across it in illegals, but they're going to build little homes, and we're going to pay for them. Officials in Chicago, Illinois, a sanctuary city, are being pitched on a housing plan that would see border crossers and legal aliens put in so-called micro-homes that measure 80 square feet. Since the summer of last year, 10,000 border crossers and legal aliens, many from Venezuela, have arrived in Chicago with little to no resources or plans to provide for themselves. Now, repeat that. They have no resources nor do they have plans to provide for themselves. What should that tell us? Well, if I just come in, walked in your house, and I just come in there and invade it, I didn't have any way to pay you, I had no plans to feed myself, and I expect you to do it, what would you do with me? Would you maybe ask me to leave or call the cops?
Perhaps.
Well, how come I can't do it with these people?
Well.
But anyway.
Well, they cleaned them up. They cleaned them up in San Francisco for Xi, for the Chinese president.
They did.
Yeah.
Most considering living in the city's established subsidized housing or in police stations. Now, according to Axios, a housing company is pitching city officials on a plan that would have six migrants, in a single 80-square-foot microhome, costing $20,000 each to manufacture. Six people in an 80-by-80 room. That sounds so cozy.
That's like a jail cell, isn't it?
It is. It is like a jail cell. Very tiny. Very tiny. So, I mean, I guess it's better than nothing. But again, they come here with nothing and no plans to take care of themselves. So how come we should be trying to do anything for them like that? I'm not saying don't help people that are trying, but they come here to freeload. And that's just the way it is. Now, I got me starting that too, didn't you? But anyway. I wish you'd quit getting me fired up like this. Heart and blood pressure.
No. You're really at it today.
And
you should feel better
one.
Afterwards, though.
Yeah, I did help me relax. But this is another insane thing with migrants. State using transportation building to house migrants and homeless. Some migrant and resident homeless families who were unable to enter this already overfilled state shelter system will be temporarily housed at the transportation building in Boston. With the state's emergency assistance shelters filled to their 7,500 family capacity, a small number of new arrivals in Massachusetts will be housed at 10 Park Plaza in Boston, home of the headquarters for the state's transportation agencies, including the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, according to officials with the Healy administration. In order to ensure that families eligible for emergency assistance shelter have a safe and warm place to sleep at night when there is not a shelter unit immediately available, the administration is utilizing a space at 10 Park Plaza, the temporary overnight facility. Families will arrive Monday night, a MassDOT employee told the Herald. They will be housed in conference rooms on the second floor of the building, which was apparently being filled with cots as of Monday morning. A photographer was not allowed. It was not allowed entry into the rooms where the families will stay. Why could not the photographer go in and take pictures? And what are they going to do for privacy and bathroom facilities? I don't know. But they're housing them there, and somebody's paying for that too. Guess who? Melly, comments?
No, sir.
Gee, you are quiet today.
What do you mean? I've been spouting off on.
I know, but I know you got thoughts on that. I mean, this is going to be so far out of reason. They're using a building that was never meant for this. It's a service building to the people, and then put illegals in there and take care of them. Who's going to bring in the food? Who's going to bring in the sanitary products? Who's going to take care of clean the place, keep the place clean? Who's going to pay for all that?
Taxpayer.
There you go.
No, sorry. I'm sorry, Butch. It's the government.
Oh, that's right. Maybe some federal. Yeah, it's probably federal dollars. Yeah. They don't count. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, they don't count. They don't count, you know.
In the way of some good news, I think, troops punished by Biden's vax mandate sues for billions. I like this. Former troops are suing the U.S. government for lost pay and benefits due to the Biden administration's military vaccine mandate. One of the lawyers who successfully brought down the anthrax vaccine told Beirut News. Attorney Dale Sarin, a retired Marine, and fellow attorneys Andy Meyer and Brandon Johnson are representing the former troops in three separate lawsuits they plan to turn into a class action lawsuit on behalf of all service members were either kicked out or illegally ordered to stop drilling, resulting in loss of pay or benefits. Sarin said the amount is in the billions. Go for it. Good for them. Good for them. Of course, again, Biden won't pay for it. We will. But I don't know, Melody. You can't win for losing sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
But this is starting to come back and bite some people, maybe. And Anthony Fauci should be put in prison for the role he played in it, at least put in prison. But this is starting to come back, and people are starting to say, you know, you told us that 2 years ago, and we did.
Yeah.
We did. And back to some war news. Gaza ceasefire deal reached. Announcements imminent. So we'll see. For the first time of the Gaza conflict, both Israeli and Hamas sources agree that a major deal for the mass release of hostages is closer than it has ever been and is in the final stages, according to U.S. officials citing Reuters today, Tuesday. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh has agreed that they are close to reaching a truce agreement with Israel, and an official with PM Netanyahu's office said an announcement of deal may be imminent. CNBC is citing Israeli Prime Minister's office saying a deal has been reached. Well, let's hope it has been. I hope it has been. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, but it says sources and Reuters indicate the pending deal is to include a multi-day pause in fighting, with a prisoner exchange potentially seeing Hamas release some 50 Israeli civilian hostages. The Israelis, for their part, are expected to free female and minor ages Palestinians in its custody. So the Israelis got female and minor ages Palestinians in their custody. I don't know why they have women and children, but they do. They're going to trade them for some hostages. So maybe there'll be a little bit of ray of light come into this mess. I don't know, Melody, but that in itself is good news.
If it's real,
yes.
I don't know why there'd be a ceasefire, well, except for the hostages, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to release all of them or just some of them.
Well, they only said 50 there, so I don't know.
Pardon?
They said 50 going to release. 50 civilian, Israeli civilians will be released. They didn't say
what
they
have over 200.
They do. So I don't know, maybe they're doing stages. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you saw this on news that I don't know how to pronounce this word, Houthis.
The Houthis.
Houthis, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
You know, it could be Houthis or the Houthis. Different times, but I say Houthis.
Houthis released dramatic video of ship hijacking. Promise this is the beginning. So we'll see. This is nothing to sneeze at here. If they're going to start hijacking ships, it's going to affect everything. Yemen's Houthini rebels have released a dramatic video of the Sunday hijacking of the Galaxy Leader, a vehicle transport ship whose owner is a subsidiary of a company owned by an Israeli billionaire. The ship is still in their control, with 25 crew members of various nationalities held hostage in a vessel now in the Yemeni port of Hodeidah. The Red Sea incident received surprisingly little initial coverage by their major media, considering it marked the opening of a new maritime front in the multilateral regional conflict that has erupted on October 7th. The Iran-aligned Houthis, who've been battling Yemen's Saudi-backed government since 2014, had already launched multiple drone and missile attacks on Israel in solidarity with Hamas and the people of Gaza. And in announcing their seizure of the Galaxy Leader, the group said all ships... Now listen, this is important. All ships belonging to the Israeli enemy or that deal with it will become legitimate targets. The detention of the Israeli ship is a practical step that proves the seriousness of the Yemeni armed forces in waging the sea battle, regardless of its cost, said Houthini chief negotiator Mohammed Abdul Salam in a separate online statement. This is the beginning. About a fifth of the world's oil must traverse a narrow strait between Yemen and Djibouti. This is only the beginning. That sounds pretty ominous, Melody.
Yeah, it does. Wow.
Very ominous. I mean, I don't know which way that's going to go, obviously, but it doesn't sound good at all. So expansion seems like it's going to happen.
But you know what, Butch? It doesn't matter.
No. That doesn't make any difference.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, United Airline pilot removed after supporting October 7th terrorist attack. Now, this guy didn't threaten anybody. He just chose sides. But today, folks, I'll get you in trouble. United Airlines pilot was removed from service after being caught expressing support for the Hamas terror group October 7th massacre in Israel, deadliest against Jewish people since the Nazi Holocaust, which saw the torture, rape, execution, immolation, and abduction of hundreds of Israeli, mostly civilians. On the day of the massacre, which left over 1,200 dead and more than 240 taken hostage, United Airlines pilot Ibrahim R. Mosalam published a post on the Facebook describing the attacks, which included the burning of babies alive, as resistance by brave people. Now, I don't know if they were burned alive. I have no idea what happened that day. And you all don't either. We weren't there. That's all there's to it, okay? But anyway, they said, this is abhorrent. How can Jewish passengers feel safe? I don't know how they put the collate the two together there. Just because you made a statement doesn't mean you're going to crash your plane. So I don't know, Melody, but it's now to the point that if you speak your mind, you're going to get in trouble, aren't you?
Pretty much. That's what they're training us to behave. They want us to behave.
Of course. And now the UN is saying starvation is imminent in Gaza. No let up in Israel on Israeli assault. And we know that's true. I mean, the supplies have been cut off. And I don't care whether it be in Israel or Gaza or Yemen or Timbuktu. I don't care where it is. When innocent people are starving and dying for lack of medicine or whatever, if there's a way to give them aid, some way to get it into them, why can't both sides agree to some way to take care of the people first? I mean, what are you fighting for? Are they fighting for the? Are they not fighting to help the people? Are they so selfish they don't give a hoot about the people? I mean, are they fighting to free the people, or are they fighting to let the people die off because they're fighting over pride or power? I don't know what it is, but if they're fighting, shouldn't they be fighting for the good of the people, Melody?
Should be.
Oh. Now, see, I'm trying to calm down here, but this don't make any sense to me. I know every war is the same way. I understand that. And these people are going to suffer. But if they can lessen the suffering by relenting a little bit for the sake of the people that say they're fighting for, why don't you do it? Anyway. And Hamas could be planning terror attacks on American soil. This is from the FBI. And it said, you know, that Morocco's speech highlighted the rapidity involving global threat and landscape and the potential consequence of the United States and its communities. So I'm not going to have time to go through all this. But we're going to see, according to this report, that already in the weeks since our assessment publication, the world has changed after Hamas terrorists viciously attacked thousands of innocent men, women, and children in October, brutally murdering, wounding, and taking hostages of all ages. So we'll see. But yes, it's going to heighten the terrorist attacks on the soil. And you stop and think about, Melly, how quickly could they take us down with just the power stations alone?
I don't know.
I mean, if one guy can set a fire on their I-10 interstate and shut down for a week or 2 weeks, what would happen if about five guys blew up a power station and did it and never stay the country? What would happen then?
I don't know.
So, see, this, yeah, folks, we're very vulnerable here. So this is what's happening today on Tuesday, the 21st November, 2023. Melody, go ahead.
Are we at just about out of time? I think we are. You did a great job today, and we'll be back tomorrow. So, ladies and gentlemen, until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.